Hello everyone, and welcome to Minute 59 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast, where we take a wild trip to the 1987 John Hughes comedy Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is DJ Valentine of Simplistic Review. Welcome back, DJ.
I'm happy to be the odd Kevin Bacon cameo in this illustrious podcast.
Well, you're already connected to him because he is in the movie. So,
yeah, it's true. Go. We're all connected to him. He is our Lord and Savior, Kevin Bacon.
Of course. There's no question about that. Okay, so Minute 59 begins with Dell getting his other sleeve caught and ends, and ends with Dell waking up calmly. So... Yesterday's minute, we were talking about the fact that Dell got his right arm stuck in the side of the on some wheel that we couldn't figure out what it actually is doing.
The purpose of this wheel.
The comedic purpose wheel. And he did all he can to try and extricate himself from it with no luck. So he thinks of the next smart thing to do. Well, I'll just free my left hand, get that out of the jacket, and then I'll be fine. So he starts doing that. The minute ended yesterday with them showing us the latch on the side, on the left-hand side of the seat. And today we actually get to see its function. Its function is for Dell to actually get the other side caught.
It was designed to snare you.
Yes. They designed the Farm and Country
version of this car. This is what happens when farmers designed a car.
Yeah. And as soon as he gets that arm stuck, he knows he's in trouble. He was in trouble yesterday, but now he's in even more trouble. There's no question about it.
But he's not. Just hit the brake. Not slam the brake. Just gently push the brake. It's all you have. Yeah.
And then he looks over at sleeping Neil, you know, as he's trying to free himself. He could have also just said, Neil, can you help me out here?
There's so many other options. Many other options.
And you see him pulling vigorously on both sides. And once again, Dell swears. He's not much of a swear, but he says, shit. And he begins to grunt. I think this is only like the second time in the whole movie that he actually is swearing. The script has him swear a little more, but in the final cut, he's not a potty mouth, as they say. And we see him like moving back and forth, trying to find a way to dislodge himself from either side. It doesn't matter which one. Let my right hand or my left hand be free. That's all I need. And then he looks down at the road, and we see the fright on his face. You know, he's still sweating from what we talked about yesterday. And it's just really, really funny watching him because, again, this shows how much of a comic genius John Candy can be. Because just on his facial expressions and the way that he moves himself, you can tell, you know, that this is a frightened man that is not thinking properly because, as you said, all he needs to do is step on the brakes. And then we see that he's actually steering the car with his
legs. So he remembers he has these things.
Yes, with his legs and his crotch. You know, it's like, and I'm trying to figure out at what angle he must have been driving to be able to do that. Because if I were to try and do that, you know, you'd have to be like lying down in order to get your legs in that position.
Or you push the chair up a lot forward. You'd have to be like right under the steering wheel.
Yes, but he didn't have the option unless one of those levers is to move the seat forward, and it brought him so much further, you know, so much closer that he's able to do it. I mean, the closest I've done to something similar to this is I sometimes, you know, for a few seconds will try and drive with my knees to like blow my nose or something like that, you know. But, you know, I won't have my entire, you know, like his knees are on the side of the steering wheel. You know, I'll have my knees under the steering wheel.
Right, you're right.
Just to make sure it doesn't, like, jerk to the side.
That's true, yeah.
You know, here.
He's straddling the steering wheel, if you were.
Yes, that is what he is doing. There's no question. And then he like calms himself by saying, "Oh, there you go. Okay." You know, he's doing fine. He's found a way to do it.
I love when Candy's at the brink of disaster. This he's just reassuring himself. I'm okay. It's all right. Everything's fine.
Exactly. And he's calming himself by saying that, you know. And then, you know, he tries again to extricate himself as he's doing this. Again, he's steering the car with his knees, or he's straddling the steering wheel. And as he's doing that, he's still trying to free his arms. Hello. Do something a little more productive here. That's not what I would normally suggest that you do, you know. And then we see the car, like, just swerve to the right. Just like, and then they give us an external shot of the car veering to the other side, you know, towards the exit ramp.
Were anti-lock brakes a thing in 1986-7?
I have no idea. That's a very good question. I didn't even think of that. But even if they are, I mean, he can't still reach screwed, the brakes at this point.
He's still screwed. Either way.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, he's actually, you know, he's, as we said, he's straddling the steering wheel. He can't get his arms down. He can't get his legs down to actually, you know, do something and slam on those brakes.
Right.
Because right. Apparently he's very close. I mean, again, we know by the end of this minute that he does. He does find a way to do it. So Here, you want to know the history? The history, they actually there are modern systems that were created in the 1950s, but in 1908, someone actually introduced a slip prevention regulator for rail vehicles. So, yeah, they've had anti-lock brakes for a while, for, I guess, over a century at this
except
point.
Except for Farm and Country. Except for them.
Except for them. Anyway, they don't need it. Why would someone need it? Come on.
This car is indestructible. What are you talking about?
And come on. They just have the faulty mechanics.
Right.
Faulty engineering.
He did preclude this by saying that earlier.
That's right. So, I mean, first of all, he lucked out the fact that it just happened to be that they were going by this exit. I mean, some of these, I know traveling through America, there are places where you will go miles upon miles upon miles without coming across an exit. And they'll just happen to be, you know, straddling the steering wheel at the exact moment where there is an exit for them to go out.
Right.
And what's great is that you see that, you know, the exit ramp is just really, really long.
Yes. It's very true.
I think, you know, it's like he's continuing on the highway.
I think of there's a place down here called Alligator Alley. It essentially takes you from the eastern side of Florida to the western side of Florida, and there is no exit. It's like you got it. I mean, the exit is the Everglades, so you can't just, if you're ever stuck in that situation, you're stranded on a highway where you have to walk straight the whole time. So yeah,
right. And I mean, I love the way that when the car goes off the exit ramp, he just hits the snowbank a little bit. Again, he could have stopped the car that way
right
too.
There, yes. So again, if that's not waking up Neil, nothing's gonna wake up
Neil. Neil is very, very tired. He had a long day, you know. He had to walk those, I think we figured out that he had to walk about 2.5 miles, you know, from the car rental agency from the car rental parking lot to back to the airport.
Whatever that mile, that distance is, you got to double it because he was doing it in anger. Anything you do in anger is double. When you're angry walking 2.5 miles, that's about 5 miles right there.
Yeah. Okay, there is something to that. I'll give you that one. And, you know, then we see that, you know, he looks up and he sees the stop sign And you know, when he gets to the end of the exit ramp and just screams and slams on the brakes really, 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 really harshly. You know, and he uses both feet. So you see, he was able to extricate himself from straddling
Right.
that steering wheel. He
Found a
found
way.
a way to do it. And then we see him like spin the wheel of the spin the steering wheel to the left, and you know the car starts to skid. Now, did you notice how many times the car
Isn't that
spins
like four
around?
times? It's
That is, he does a quadruple. What was it?
that
The
was a
quadruple
triple Lindy.
Lindy?
He's beat the triple Lindy with
That
a
was it.
quadruple
Well,
Lindy.
so there you go. There you go. He's doing the quadruple Lindy.
Somewhere Rodney Dangerfield, hey, no respect at all. He's just so upset. Even a car beats my record. What's going on here?
it goes around. He's screaming the whole time. And again, Neil is continuing to sleep.
Unconscious. That is me. Every time I see him, I'm like, that's me. That is me. You can be jumping on the bed I'm sleeping and I'm still unconscious. You're not waking me up.
And then the car spins around. He screams. The car comes to a complete stop. And then something very strange happens. You know, you see Dell looking out the window, looking out the front window, completely shocked on his face. And then, did you notice something that happens there?
No. What did I miss?
The windshield wiper starts working.
This car is amazing. This car is magical. You alluded to it before, last episode. This car is magical. It has magic powers.
Well, again, it's a magical car being driven by a
Put
Jedi. What do you expect? Come
a
on.
whole bunch of Chekhovs in the back seat. It's an unbelievable car.
That's right. That's right. So it got me thinking, what do you know about windshield
About
wipers?
windshield wipers. They had to have been invented a long time ago. This has to be Model T era windshield wiper. They have to be because weather is weather and it's been weather forever. So I'm assuming.
Wait, in the farm and country, you're saying that the type of windshield wipers are from
I think
that long ago?
I'm
Or you're
thinking
talking
in
about in
general,
general?
like when they first, I'm thinking the first cars must have had a windshield wiper. I'm almost willing to bet. Had to have.
All right, good.
Had to
All
have.
right, so we'll find out. So basically, what a windshield wiper is, and there are three names for it. It can be called a windscreen wiper, a windshield wiper, or wiper blade. Those are the different things that are referred to. It's a device used to remove rain, snow, ice, washer fluid, water, or any other debris from a vehicle's front window. Almost all motor vehicles, including cars, trucks, buses, trains, locomotives, and watercraft with a cabin, and some aircraft are equipped with one or more such wipers, which are usually a legal requirement. Okay, so basically, the idea also is that they usually have a system that sprays either water or antifreeze, window washer fluid or something onto the windscreen in order to get rid of ice or get rid of things that are dirty there. There are some that are actually heated
Well, that's cool.
that also help to defrost, you know, any ice that you might have on there. So a little bit of the history of them. So the first recorded patent of a windscreen wiper was by a man named George J. Capewell of Hartford, Connecticut, who filed the patent on the 6th of August, 1896.
Eighty. I told you it was back in
Okay,
the
and yeah, you're right. You're right. I did I say I
day.
was betting you? You said you're willing to bet. I didn't take you up on the bet. I knew you were right. So his invention was for an automated motorized wiper for cars, locomotives, and such land vehicles. Okay, and then over the years, they kept changing and making better versions of it as it would go along. Apparently, in 1903, there were three different inventors that all gave in patents for windshield cleaning devices.
Okay.
Then someone came up with the idea of intermittent wipers. Okay, the idea was thought of by a man named Raymond Anderson in 1923, and he thought of an idea of doing an electrical mechanical design that would allow that you flip the switch and the windshield wiper would move each time, make things a little bit easier, to change it. But the problem was is that you couldn't change the speed.
Really?
It was a constant speed the whole time. So in 1963, there was a professor who was an engineering professor in Wayne State University in Detroit, which is where I'm from.
Ooh. Oh, there you go.
A man named Robert Kearns, who came up with a design that he wanted the windshield wipers to have to work in an intermittent fashion, the way that an eye blinks, right? Okay. That you can change it, that it'll be every few seconds or whatever. It wouldn't be just a steady thing. You can change what it was. So he created this idea, got a patent for it, and then he showed his design to the Ford Motor Company, who decided that they didn't want his product. And then the following year, in their new cars, they actually put his product in there without him telling it. They basically stole his idea.
Stole his idea, of course.
Of course. So he ended up suing them and was in court with them for many, many years until he eventually won. He was actually able to win the court case against them.
How much money?
There's a movie. I don't remember the exact amount. Oh. There's a movie that came out in 2009 called Flash of Genius.
I think I remember this movie. This sounds familiar. Flash of Genius. Who's in it?
It's with Greg Kinnear.
I do remember this movie. Yes. I don't think I've seen it, but I've seen the trailer.
I've seen it. I saw it recently, actually. I saw it a few months ago. Mm. Not connected to this.
No.
And that's why I was happy to see it in my research. Mm. I was like, hey, I know about that. I saw a movie about that. that's where I get my knowledge from, So that's why we have windshield wipers now that you can actually, I think they usually have four or five different speeds. I know the other day I was driving in the rain and my daughter asked me, she said, oh, can you make it go faster? Can you make it go slower? And it's very, just a little flick of a switch.
I remember when I was little, the next door neighbor, he had they were in Florida, which would be really no use for this, but he had the Mercedes with the windshield wiper, the small little tiny ones on the headlights. And I thought they were really cool, but I didn't understand what they were for. And then I realized, oh yeah, it's for like if you're in the snow and stuff like that, I guess. But I just thought it was really, why do you have windshield wipers in your headlights? I mean, it's cool and all, but I don't.
I think their car, I think this car, I think the Farm and Country
Does it have it on the windshield? The headlights, I mean? Yeah, I can't remember. But I remember my next door, he had the silver Mercedes and it had the little tiny little windshield wipers on the headlights. I just thought I was enamored by it. I was like, why? why is it there? What is it for?
Oh, wow. Cool. Now, we actually get an answer now to a question that we asked earlier in the week. Mm. Do you remember the question?
What was the question we asked?
About the car.
Oh, what car is it made of?
No.
How many doors? How many doors are on the car? Yeah.
How many doors?
Yeah.
This is a two-door car.
Really?
It is not a four-door.
Oh.
So apparently it doesn't make a difference. He threw it out and came in back in the same window.
So again, that's
there's the answer.
Oh, I didn't know it was a
So anyone who heard yesterday's and has been waiting 24 hours,
how to many hear the doors answer, are on the car? How many?
They finally know, just like we do. And at that point, we also hear, first of all, we see Dell. He looks completely relieved at this point. You see, he's panting heavily, still in shock about everything that happens. And then we hear the car begin to beep. Do you have any idea what's beeping?
It seems like it would beep if the car is off and the key is in it. And it's like sometimes they have the beep to remind you to take the key out of the car so you don't lock your car in. But he doesn't turn the car off, so I have no idea what's beeping.
Right, and it can't be because they're not wearing seatbelts.
Right,
They weren't wearing seatbelts the entire time.
Unless he put the hazard lights on and the hazard light makes a beep. The only thing I could think that beeping noise, I've heard it in cars, older cars, where once you turn the car off, if you don't take the key out of the ignition, it will will make that beep to remind you to take the key out of the ignition. But again, it's, you only does it when the car is off. So I don't know. I don't know what the hell that is.
Yeah, I have no idea. Absolutely no idea. But maybe, I think, I mean, we'll get to this in the script. I think the script mentions the fact that the car just dies as he does
it. Oh, shit. Okay.
So I think maybe that's what it is. Yeah, it says the engine shudders and dies. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that would be the answer. Wait, but we'll see that.
This is a very humongous departure from the movie. The script must be at this point coming up, right?
No, not really. Not so much. We'll get there.
Wait, is this the car, the engine sputters and dies, or the car just turns?
No, like, it just turns off. The car.
Oh, okay.
It just turns off. That's the idea. The car had enough.
It tapped out.
It's like, they'll get out of here. I'm not going another inch further till you get out.
That car is a character. It is a character in the movie. So
let Neil drive.
Please, for the love of God, let Neil drive.
Exactly. And then Neil actually wakes up. And Steve Martin, I mean, we haven't really seen him for the last 3 days because he's sound asleep. We just see, you know, his full head of white hair. That's all we see.
Could have been a stand-in, though, for all we know.
Yeah. And he basically just sits up and looks around very innocently. And that's it. He doesn't say anything at this point. Tomorrow we'll get a few words out of him. But it's just great. I mean, you know, you'd think that, you know, that after going through such a spin, he would know something, but he knows nothing. He just wakes up and you see him like lean forward and look out the window just to try and figure out what's going on.
Wait, where are we? It's a perfect way to play because the easier way would have been him waiting. What the hell is going on?
Exactly.
Says, what's up? What's up?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. But he doesn't talk today. We'll get him to talk tomorrow, and there is a lot that he says. So, you know, in the script at least, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
You have anything else you want to say about this minute before we get to the script?
Windshield wipers. Two-door farm and country windshield wiper vehicle. How much do you think the car goes for on the open market? I'm thinking about $25,000.
Well, I actually know the answer to that.
Oh, jeez, please. Off of a fictional car price? I want to know how much this car costs.
No, not the fictional price. But if you're looking for this type of car, you can buy a real Town and Country from 1986, a Chrysler LeBaron Town and Country, for anywhere between, depending on, obviously, the condition. But if you want one in pristine condition, you can get anywhere between $15,500 to $23,000.
Damn, still?
Yep.
Still? Holy crap.
Yep.
Wow. Well.
So start saving your money.
I'll put the pennies together and get on top of this.
Exactly. You can go with Vern and start digging for those pennies under the porch.
Exactly.
All right. So in the script, there's very few differences here because obviously this minute not much really happens verbally.
Right.
You know, it's very descriptive. But the description that John Hughes uses in the script is great as to what happens. So I'm just going to quickly read that.
Okay.
It says, okay. Del rips his hands free, grabs the wheel and hits the brakes. See, we don't even notice that beforehand.
He gets his hands.
You know,
free,
he rips them free. I guess out of fear. You know, his hands are behind him the whole time, and only when, you know, he sees the stop sign does he, you know, somehow, you know, rip the arms free. We don't really see it. It happens within a fraction of a second of how he's able to grab onto the wheel. So, okay, it says he grabs the wheel and hits the brakes. He slams his eyes shut and screams. The braking force throws Neil and the back seat forward, locking him forward with his head between his knees. Once again, back to the head between his knees. Is he going to throw up?
Right.
I don't know. Windshield cleaners go on, and the windows fog up, making it hard to see out. The car does 180 degrees and grinds to a halt in a cloud of tire smoke. It comes to rest across the overpass road, pointing towards the ramp it just came up. The engine shudders and dies. That's what it said. That's the way the whole script.
Hmm.
But it doesn't mention about the beeping. You know, come on.
Yeah.
that was ad libs.
That's probably editorial ad.
You have Steve Martin on the side, you know, making beeping sounds.
I got to do something in this scene. Let me make the beeping noise. Come on.
Dude, come on. Give me something.
Give me something.
All right. And that's all we got for this minute. So every day we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track, where either myself or my guest will give a little story about an adventure or misadventure that one of us may have had along the journey of life. So, DJ, you got another one for us?
Oh man, there was a time I think I mentioned a couple episodes. I think it was the last episode, maybe two episodes ago. My friend had a blue tiny Toyota Tercel, and we would drive everywhere in that car before I got my truck. So his car was like the community car for all our friends. It was four of us, and I'm 6'2", but for some reason I was always in the back seat for some stupid reason, and. We were out one day. It was my friend Carrie's car and my other friend I mentioned before, Jay, and my other friend Keith. We're all in the car, and Carrie and Jay, who's in the passenger seat, get into an argument. And Carrie just says, "Get out of my car." And Jay says, "No." And there was like a standoff, and we can't get out because we're in the back seat. And so we can't leave. So we literally have to sit and wait for them to patch things up. And it took 45 minutes of us sitting on the side of a road because I was like, I'll get out right here, guys. No. So they're just sitting there dead silent waiting for them to patch things up from this argument. And we're just stuck in the back seat trying not to laugh. And every time we make a joke, it just gets some angrier and angrier, and the longer we wait for them to just, and I don't even remember what they were arguing over. I bet you they don't even either. I just remember sitting on the side of the road for 45 minutes at night in Tallahassee, Florida, waiting for them to break their log jam of a pride fest they were having on there. But yes, I think I'm afraid to bring it up to my friend Jenny at this point, because that was the angriest I'd ever seen them at all. But it just sucked for me because, again, you're talking about a head between your legs. A 6'2" guy in the back of a blue 1990 Toyota Tercel hatchback. It's just like I had my head between my
legs. You should have gone out the back.
I can't. There is no back.
You said it was a hatchback.
It's like this farming country. There's only it's a hatchback, but I can't reach he'd have to pop the trunk. I can't do anything from the inside. He has to do it from the outside. So yeah, trust me, I considered all my options. It was 45 minutes of a wait. I was like, should I try and just push past them? But they were very, very angry at that point. I didn't want their anger to turn toward me. I was just essentially innocent. I was kidnapped. I literally was kidnapped for 45 minutes in the back of a car.
Wow. Well, all right. Very cool. You want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
You can tweet me at Trying to Be DJV on Twitter. You can tweet the show at Simple Tweeters on Twitter as well. And you can search for Simplistic Reviews on YouTube, Stitcher, TuneIn, the dark web, all that good stuff. Just search Simplistic Reviews. We're on all those platforms, and you can hear more crazy name stories of the three of us, me, Justin Palizzi, and Matthew Stewart.
All right. Excellent. While you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcast you might be using to listen to this show. Finding me is also very easy. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Twitter, find me on Facebook, and you can find me on my website, which is movierobminute.com. So, DJ, you want to come and finish the week with us tomorrow?
Let's get back on the road, my friend. Let's get back on the road.
Yeah, just make sure that you drive in the right direction.
What will happen if I drive in the wrong direction, Rob? What will happen if I happen to drive in the wrong direction?
I would say that you're fine.
Oh, God damn it. I'm fine. We're okay. We're driving in a farming country.